Last time I did this,
I forgot to turn this on. So today, I'm trying to get it right. We had in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about sending up our timbers, preparing for our heavenly home, and some things that we do. I just want to make mention, not to put a person on a pedestal, but I appreciate what Brother Holloway did this morning, and I'd ask you to keep him in prayer. He wasn't feeling well, but he went back home, but he came, and he brought some supplies that we have on our board asking for the boxes that we're taking up for the meeting. He came and he brought some stuff for to put in the boxes, and he left his contribution, and then he left and went back home. I think that is a typical example of what we as Christians need to do and setting up our temple for preparing for our home in heaven. That was just an example. As I said, I'm not putting him on a pedestal, because you don't praise a fish because he swims, because that's what he does. But we as Christians, that's a typical example, so it's a pattern for us to follow. But please keep him in your prayers, as he wasn't feeling well this morning. So we ask for prayers for him. This morning, I'm going to try to be a vessel, messenger for us all, that we may get something out of this lesson this morning. My title on this lesson is going to be Do Not Be Deceived. Well, before I decide, let me just say a quick prayer. Oh Lord, I come before you this time, and I ask that you use me as a messenger, a vessel of yours, to bring forth this message that you would like for us to hear. Speak unto everyone under the sound of my voice, as well as myself, that we may get something out of this lesson that will help us to be better Christians, help us to spread your word better, help us to show to others what your word is all about. And I ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Okay. I'm going to start in the book of 1 Kings with this story I want to relate to you about. I want to talk about the two kings, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. You may be familiar with them, but Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. And at the end of, well, close to the end of 1 Kings chapter 11, we see that King Solomon dies, and his son, Rehoboam, is about to take over. Now, you probably are familiar with the fact that Solomon was a very wise ruler, a very wise king. But typically, among every human being, no matter how great you are, how much stature you have, how much worldly possessions you may have, or how good a person you are, none of us are perfect. And Solomon was not perfect either. And he had God's favor at one time, but he messed up. And God was angry with him. And God told him before he died that he would take his kingdom away from him, not from him, but from his son. So we pick up in the story where Rehoboam is made king after his father. And the people of Israel came to him, as we go into chapter 12 of 1 Kings. They came to him to tell him, and I'm paraphrasing, that your father was a cruel king because he put things on us, made our tasks heavy. He burdened us with much. As it is written there, your father made our yoke grievous, and they are pleading with him to lighten their load. And they're telling him, if you lighten the load, we will serve you. Now, as you might have heard the saying, you can catch more flies with honey, and you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can be kind to people and have them do your bidding better than you can being cruel. And anyone that has ever worked in the public, let me see, how can I say this? You work for the public, so to speak, where you may be a cashier or you work in serving the public. It's kind of a tough task because everybody's not nice, you know. And in order to get respect, you have to give respect. But sometimes when people get into a position, they tend to forget that because they're in this position. So they feel like you've got to do what I say do. Well, in this case of the king, of course, you have to do what the king said do anyway. But it's still a way in which you can get people to do your bidding if you act nicely to them, talk nicely to them. Well, King Rehoboam shows some sign of wisdom when he told them, come back to me in 3 days, and I will give you an answer to whether or not I will lighten your load. Now, here's an example that we can take of wisdom. Have you ever made a decision in haste and then end up having to pay for it? And some people say it come back and bite you. That's why sometimes it's better to delay your decision if you can. Think about it. Pray on it. And then make your decision. And most of the time, it will come out better than you just making a quick snap decision because you don't want it to come back and come back on you. Another sign of wisdom that Rehoboam showed was he went to the elders that advised his father, the king. And he asked them, well, what should I say to these people that want me to lighten their load? Now, again, that's a sign of wisdom. In our day and time, don't too many young people, and I dare say in the day and time before this time, because I'm guilty in that party, I didn't listen too much to the elders, to the older people. Well, I listened some. I listened enough to where I didn't get punished for the things that I did. I wasn't perfect, never have been. But I knew that when my mother said, don't do this, I didn't get caught doing that. Notice I said I didn't get caught doing that. Because I didn't want to suffer the consequences. But sometimes when things were troubling me, and she could see it, and she said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said nothing, because I figure, I'm going to figure it out, I'm going to handle it, you know. Or she'll tell me, you need to do such and such a thing. And I'm like, okay, I already figured it in my mind, I'm going to do it my way, you know. We get wisdom from going to the elders because, elderly people, because 9 out of 10, they have already traveled over the road that you are going over. They can tell you something that may help you that you can benefit from. And sometimes it's not necessarily elderly people. It's anybody that has experienced something that you haven't experienced yet. They're trying to tell you something that will benefit you. They're wiser than you are. But if you don't listen to them, then you will fall in the same pitfall they will fall in, or one worse. But anyway, Rehoboam did show a sign of wisdom by asking the elders because they advised his father, the king. And he listened to them, and they told him that if you where to talk nice to the people, lighten their load. They will serve you for life. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But what he was telling them was, you have some good people, some good servants, and they will follow you, and your kingdom will be great if you treat them right. He thought about it. And then he's going to go and ask some of the young men that he grew up with. Now, how can someone that's suffering the same thing you're suffering, going through the same thing you're going through, going to help you out of doing things that they don't know nothing about either? That's bad judgment. We have a lot of young men right today that have been incarcerated. And while they're incarcerated, they're listening to someone else that's incarcerated too. They tell them, you can do this and you can do that. When the young man that's incarcerated should sit back and say, you're telling me and you're in here with me. That don't, something seems to be wrong with that picture. But of course, Rehoboam didn't see it that way. He takes the advice of his friends and younger ones that grew up with him. And they're telling him, you should make the load heavier than what your father did. So he takes their advice. When the Israelites come back to him again, he tells them what his friends say. That I'm going to make the load heavier upon you than what my father did. You thought my father was bad? I'm going to be worse. He ruled over you with whips. I'm going to rule over you with scorpions. So he's letting them know, you think you had a hard time then? You're going to have a worse time then. So what happens behind that? That's how we had to split of the kingdom. They divided, 10 tribes broke off, and they made their own king, Jeroboam. And 2 tribes stayed with Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was the king of the south in Judah, and Jeroboam was the king of the north, which is called Israel. Now, at this point in the story, we see how the split come up. We see how bad judgment could cause chaos. Yes. But this is not where it ends. Because you think to yourself, okay, 2 kings, which one is the best? You got 2 kings that are both bad. It's just that one is a little worse than the other. So, instead the lesser of 2 evils, we have to try not to go with any evil at all. Because they didn't have any choice. Jeroboam made things worse for the people that was going to follow him. He made 2 calves for them to worship. He put 1 in Bethel and 1 in Dan. He told them that to go to Jerusalem to worship was too far. So I'm going to build these 2 calves and y'all can worship right here. Because in his heart, he had thoughts of selfishness. He didn't want the people to leave. He caused the people to sin because he wouldn't let them go. Now, they were trying to do the right thing, but this was the king that they chose. So they followed the wrong king. He was afraid that if they went to Jerusalem, maybe they would turn their heart back to Rehoboam. Because Rehoboam was trying to stay within the bounds of what the Lord wanted. But he still was doing wrong things also. Jeroboam also made an altar to worship on. And he's going to put up his own sacrifices and make sacrifices to supposedly to God. But here we can think about some things that happen today. When we see people do what they want to do and not doing what the Lord said do, and we know from His Word that that is not what the Lord said, then we have to make a decision. Do we want to follow them, or do we want to go with what the Word says? Man, if there is any preacher, whether they have a grand tent meeting, I can't think of what the word is. Some people have this thing set up where they may be in a coliseum or in a fairground or some large place where they can have a large crowd of people. And they say they are preaching the word. But if you're reading your Bible and you're following on with what they're saying, some of that stuff they're saying is not true. They may start out with the truth, just like the devil do. Did the Lord really say? And then, before you know it, you're on the wrong path. But you're following them. And if the people say, oh, I think we should do this, I think we should do that, and the preacher said, okay, let's do that, let's do this, and it's contrary to what the Lord said, that's not what the Lord wants. And sooner or later, the Lord is going to let you know, that is not what I want. You are not serving me, and I'm not having it. We have to be careful of that. That is the title of my lesson. We have to be careful so that we do not be deceived. Because when you think about it, you read a book, whether it be fictional or truth, you look at a movie, sometimes they tell you this is taken from a true story, and you hear somebody tell you something, 90% of the time, it's going to start out with the truth, because that's what's going to grab you. But somewhere down the line, it's going to veer off somewhere. That's how the devil tricks you. Starts out with the truth, but he carries you off on another path before you realize it. You may be knee-deep. You keep on going, you're going to get waist-deep. You keep on going, it's going to be up around your shoulders. If you can't swim, you're in trouble. You need a lifeguard or somebody to throw you a rope. Anyway, as I said, the Lord is not going to have it. He will let things go on for so long, and then He's going to change it. In this case, the Lord sent a man of God to Jeroboam, to preach against his altar and to say that what he was doing was wrong. Now, this had to be a man of God because, number one, he's going up against the king. He's going to stand there and tell the king, you're wrong. This is not what God wants. And going to say it in front of all the people so they can hear it. And as we say, he's going to cut him down. Yeah, what do you think the king going to do? I don't think he's going to be too happy about it. And the king wasn't. The king pointed to him and said, lay hands on him. As if to say, take him away. But in doing so, his own hand withered. It withered so bad he couldn't even draw it back up to him. When he realized that, instead of saying, I've sinned, I've done something wrong, this man must be from God. What he's saying is true. Pray for me and pray for me to God that I've sinned and heal my hand, heal my arm. All he said to the man was, I need you to heal my arm. He didn't repent. He didn't admit that he was wrong. He didn't say he was going to change. He just told the man, told the man from God,
I need you to heal my arm. Pray to your God, ask him to heal my arm.
So, the man of God, being what he was, a man of God, he did that. He prayed to God and asked him to heal his hand. When his hand became good again, he told the man of God, come to my house. I will give you a reward. You can dine with me. Now, the thing is, when people are not doing what God says, he does not want us to associate with them. We can tell them what he did wrong. We can still live in the same house with them. What we don't associate is in doing what they're doing and participating in what they're participating in. That's association. I mean, because let's face it, we all have family members that are not in the church for whatever reason. We don't have no control over them. But we can tell them about God. We can lead by example and show them what we are talking about. Try to live our life in a way in which they would know that we are believers and followers of Christ. But we can't make them do anything. It's their choice, just like it's our choice. But when they said, well, come on, let's go do this on a Sunday morning, they want to go to the game. You can't say, okay, I'm going to go to church tonight. I'm going to go to the game with you today. That's association with them. That's not what God wants. When they said, come on, let's go and do something that you know is against what God wants. And you say, okay, that's not what God wants. You're supposed to be the one to set the example. As the scripture said, we are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to set the example. We are supposed to be the seasoning. We are supposed to show people. But sometimes in order to show people, you have to stand up. If you're around a bunch of people at work and they're laughing and joking and talking about somebody, if you're afraid that you might laugh too, then you have to walk away from them and stand over to the side or just leave the room. And somebody's going to ask you, man, what happened to you? Where you go? I'm not a part of that. I don't like that. That's not what God likes. You have to be the example. Sure, they might start joking on you then, but that's okay. They joked on Christ. Did a whole lot more than joke on it. Now, I'm sorry, got a little bit away from the story, but one of the most important things is why I say we're not supposed to associate with him, because this is not what God would like for us to do. Now, God told the man of God, his prophet, he told him before he left, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go there, tell him he's wrong, don't eat nothing, don't drink nothing, don't even come back home the same way you went. And I don't know for sure whether or not he said to God, what you say? Because, you know, sometimes when somebody tells you something and something that you really don't want to do or you don't want to hear, you kind of play like it's a little different. You go, huh? What you said? Say it again. God was very explicit. He told him, don't eat nothing. Don't drink nothing. Do not even come back the same way you went. He understood those instructions. So after he healed, or he didn't hear, God healed the man's hand and his arm, and then the king wanted to reward him and told him, come on, go home with me. Let me reward you for what you did. You heal me. You fix me back up. Come have dinner with me. Come on, I'll give you some food. I'll give you anything you want. The prophet, the man of God, told him, nope, can't do it. I've already been instructed not to eat nothing, not to drink nothing. If you offer me half of your kingdom, I wouldn't take it. I'm not even coming to your house. Being faithful to the word of God, that's the way we're supposed to be. Don't try to twist it. Don't try to change it. Just do what the Lord said do, to the best of your ability. And as we go further in the story, what this man did was exactly what God told him to do. He left the king, and he started on the way back home a different way. Now, when we do what the Lord asks us to do, we're going to set out, like I said, people are laughing and joking, and you walk away. If people are playing loud music when they shouldn't be, because I love loud music myself, but it's a time for it and it's not a time for it. And sometimes it's not a time for it. And I shouldn't be a part of that. And I don't. But I'm not perfect, so I know it's something that I do that I don't suppose to do. Because I'm not perfect. But when you know that this is not what the Lord wants you to do, and I'm quite sure each and every one that's in here knows it's something that you may do or don't do or desire to do that you know that ain't what the Lord wants you to do. We're supposed to exhibit discipline on our own self to set the example. Sometimes we falter because we're human. That's why we pray and we repent. And we try our best not to do it again. That's why the Lord allows us to do that. But when you know that you are not supposed to do something, one of the commandments of God is do not steal. Right? You know you don't supposed to steal. And you were walking behind someone and just came out of the bank and they dropped a little bag. They didn't know it. You saw the bag. You saw them drop it. Now we got some good people that will run and pick it up. Sir, ma'am, you dropped this. Won't even look at it. And then you got some that will look at it, but they still would carry it to them. But you got some that will walk over and put their foot on it and pull out their phone and start flipping through the phone and watching to see where the people go. And then after they leave, they pick that little bag up and they, whoo! The Lord has blessed me today. And you know good and well they're stealing because you saw where it came from. Now, if you was going into the bank or going to some store, going somewhere, and there was a bag laying on the ground, you didn't see where it come from, you picked it up, and there was money in it. Some good people would go in the store and said, I was coming in the store, and somebody must have dropped this money. I'm going to leave it here with you all. They may come back looking for it. Some good people would pick it up, go in the store and tell his people, somebody dropped this bag of money out here, and I saw it and I brought it in here. They may come back looking for it, and they give it to the people, but a couple of 20s or something might be missing out of it. Because they feel like, well, the Lord let me get it, and he was just paying me for carrying it in there. And you know that ain't what the Lord do. That ain't the way he work. When you know what is right, and you do wrong on purpose, then you are sinning, plain and simple. The Lord don't like it. So, don't be deceived, because why did you come upon it in the first place? Was it a test? Was the devil after you? Was the devil sitting up there with God saying, drop that money there, I bet you don't make it in that store. You know, he did it to Job. He told the Lord, if you do this to Job, he'll do that. So if he did it to Job, what makes you think he won't do it to us? Now, this prophet knew what the Lord said. Don't eat. Don't drink. And don't go back the same way you came. And he was following the direction. As he went out the city, another old prophet came up behind him and told him, "Hey, my brother, come on, go home with me and have some refreshments. I heard about what you did to the king. That was a good job. Somebody need to stand up for what's right. Come on, go home with me." The man said the same thing what God told him. "No, I'm supposed to be on my way because I've been instructed to do what the Lord said." And he said, "Don't go home and eat with nobody here. He told me don't eat no drink here and don't go back the same way I came." But this preacher told him, "But I'm a man of God just like you are. It's all right." Did God really say? And the devil is very deceiving. So the preacher said, the man of God said, "Well, you a preacher just like I am. Yeah, I'm a preacher. I preach over here at such and such a place. Yeah. Come on, go home with me." What did God say? Did God really say? He said, "Don't eat with the king. But it's okay if you eat with somebody else." Did God really say? He did say, "Do not eat, do not drink, and do not go back the same way you came." So if you were following the word of God, why would you detour and do what this man said? Because he said he's a man of God too. If God had wanted you to do that, don't you think he would have told you, "Don't eat nothing there, don't drink nothing there, go back a different way in which you come, but I'm going to send another preacher to you, and he's going to come to you, and you can go home and eat and drink with him." Don't you think the Lord would have said that? Very possible, but the Lord didn't say it. So what did our man of God do? He went with the preacher that lied to him. Now, we got a lot of good people in the world. They got a good heart. They read the Bible. They try their best to live the best way they can, following God. But they do slip. We all do. But sometimes they slip on purpose. Like I said about the people that pick up the money and they take it in, but there's a few bills missing. But they figure, it was all right, you done bent the rules. You done bent the saying. You done changed it up. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. We have to follow what the Lord says so that we can get to our eternal home. If we know what the Lord wants to do, don't deter from it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to make it work for you, because it's not going to work. You're going to still suffer. Which we found out that in the end, we find that out the hard way sometimes. That when you try to change things or try to bend it your way, then you find yourself in a situation, then you holler, "Oh, Lord, help me, help me. If you get me out of this, I'll do what you say. I'll follow you. I won't do this no more." We just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "Okay, lift this plague. I'll let you go." Each time he changed his mind. After the crisis passed, how soon do we forget? The story that I just related to you all is found in 1 Kings chapter 12, 13. You can read it for yourself. The man did not make it back home. Because he disobeyed God, on the way, a lion killed him. He met a terrible death. In our case, when we willfully disobey God, because he gives us that choice, we think we might have made it. But when the day of judgment comes, you find out you didn't make it. You have nothing to say when the charges are read against you, because you willfully did what you did. You won't be like this prophet that got deceived. He followed what the prophet said, believing in another man. He didn't believe in God. Oh, he believed in God, but he got sidetracked because the devil slipped in on him. We have to be on our guard 24/7, because the simplest things that we don't think about, that's how the devil slips in and gets us. Throws us off course, makes us reel from the path, and before you know it, you be like some movie that you're looking at. It's a beautiful garden that you're walking in, and you see something that's twinkling, and you step off the path, and next thing you know, you don't see the path no more, and there's a whole bunch of bushes around you, and you don't know where you are. And the devil said, I got you. In Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 7 through 10, what we read this morning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We don't know who we come in contact with each day, but we do know one thing for sure. The devil is out there from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go back to sleep that night. Don't think for one minute that he's not trying to find a way to make you slip up. But the good thing is, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep again, God is right there with us too. And he's making a way for us to get out if we follow his lead and do what he says do. So I close out my lesson this morning with, do not be deceived. Try your best to follow the word of God. And when you're in doubt, there's a saying that people say, what would Jesus do? All of us come from God. We're made in his image. So we have a little bit of God in us. That's why he wants us to come back to him. Man, you should have, especially if you call yourself a Christian, you should have some kind of feel as to whether or not what you're doing is right or wrong. But if you're in this position where you're not sure, that's when you're supposed to pray and ask for guidance. And I guarantee you, if you take a moment, if it ain't no more than three words, Lord help me, you ask the Lord for help, he will show you which way to go. This is my lesson. I hope you all get something out of it that will help you to walk better in your Christian walk and to relate to other people. You've heard a portion of the word. If you're not a believer, you have to do certain things to become a believer, to accept Christ. First, you have to hear the word, and you have to believe what you hear. If you believe it, it should make you want to repent from your wrongdoing and change your life. You can repent and acknowledge it, and then you be baptized. But after you do all that, comes the hardest part of all. You have to hold true to the teachings of Christ. But that means from that day on, you have to follow Christ and turn away from doing things that you know are wrong and do the things that you learn from Christ that are right. If there's anyone that have anything on their heart that they would like to ask for prayers for, you can come forward now as we stand and sing our invitation hymn. Thank you.